This recording is a production of Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute. This presentation was recorded at Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2015 in Wytheville, Virginia, March 6 through 7.
Yes, welcome to Practical Procedures for Board Meetings. It is to me somewhat of a surprise to see so many of you coming to a workshop about board meetings, when board meetings are something that you already probably are participating in now or and have for many years already. So I was reminded of this exchange that took place back in the days when students would, during the summer, walk down country roads and sell books to fund their education. The story is told of a student who was walking down the roads in Vermont, where the people there are known to be right to the point and to not suffer fools very gladly. And so the student goes walking down the road, and he came to this kind of tumble-down farm. He went in the lane up onto the porch, and the farmer is sitting there on a rocking chair, rocking away on the porch of the farmhouse. And makes his presentation. He offers all these various books, and the farmer kind of listened to everything, and then he said, thank you very much, but I don't think that I am interested. And this kind of, the student responded with, that the way he said it made the student respond with just a bit of an edge, and he said, so he looked around, he said, I have a book on how to improve your farming methods. And it would seem to me that perhaps you would be able to benefit from this book. And so the farmer got up and he put his thumbs in his calluses and he said, son, let me tell you something. I ain't farming half as good as I already know how right now. And I would venture that most of us who are already sitting in board meetings are not doing board meetings half as good as we already know how. So it is kind of interesting to have you here this morning, and we'll talk about board meeting practical procedures for board meetings. Yesterday, I believe Brother Wesley read the passage in Exodus where Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, came to Moses. And so I'll not be reading it again, but I will at least draw your attention to this exchange between Jethro and Moses. Remember that as Jethro observed Moses and saw how the people were just lined up and they were waiting to talk to Moses, he didn't say, you know what, Moses, you are important. And this is really nice to see that my son-in-law is so important. This is wonderful. He said, it's not good. And the aspect of this that I want for us to think about this morning in relation to board meetings is the distribution of the responsibility, the distribution of the task. When we think about board meetings, I think I already said this morning that other than traffic, nothing holds this country back more than meetings. The idea there is that most of us have this sense that we would be able, if we just had the time, to do everything ourselves better. But the undertaking of such an enterprise as to direct a school is a communal event. It's a communal undertaking. We do it in community. So it's a matter of sharing the task, distributing the responsibility. And the board meetings are the ways in which we actually distribute that responsibility. The Apostle Paul wrote this is out of context, I know, but at least let me draw your minds to it. Remember when he wrote to the Corinthians about their communions, he said, you meet for the better, for the worse. there is such a thing as meeting for the worse. Now, I trust that that's not the way our, that would not characterize our board meetings. But just to say that just because we have a meeting doesn't mean that we have improved things. So, some practical procedures for board meetings. This morning, what we want to talk about is governance, distributing the task, meetings, gain or pain, and then I want to also point out that most of the information I'll be sharing here this morning comes from this book, Doing Good Better. That book is written by, and in your handout, which, by the way, the handout is a 7-page handout. And so you'll say, hey, that's way too much information. I already know that, but I would much rather look at your faces as we talk here this morning than to see the tops of your heads as you're writing things down. So I just left everything in there that you might otherwise take out of a handout so that you don't bother writing it down. Everything we talk about is going to be in that handout somewhere. So, and we'll generally be following it in the PowerPoint. But this book, Doing Good Better, I became acquainted with many years ago when I first started going to board meetings. And I learned, the title is the best part of the whole book. I mean, isn't that kind of a catchy idea? Doing good, better. But that's what this workshop is all about as well. It was written by Elmer Stays and Chester Raber, I think is his name. And the ISBN is there in case you want. It's still available. I'm sorry, that is the extent, unless there's some up front here. Doing Good Better. It has been updated, and I think it's maybe not in print right now, but it's still available if you look for it. So what we'll do this morning is to talk about conducting efficient board meetings. And an efficient board meeting, the components of an efficient meeting are, number one, an agenda. There's three things I want to, actually four. Four components to a board meeting that's efficient and effective that we want to talk about this morning. In more detail, we're just giving you an overview right now. The agenda, the chairman, the minutes, and the fourth party is the secretary. And then we'll talk about purposeful discussion. Isn't that what happens at board meetings? You discuss things. So how do you purposefully discuss things? That assumes that there is a purpose and you're going somewhere with the discussion. Because, you know, there is discussion that goes nowhere. I'm assuming you have participated in such talk. And then also planning via the meeting agenda and decision making by proposal and some practical pointers. The essence of all of this, and I want to say this at the outset here so that as we drill on down into some detail and so on, that I don't forget to come to this, to communicate the whole proposal that I'm making to you this morning about effective board meetings. First of all, let me say that a school board meeting is a priceless opportunity for all participants to help mold and shape the rising generation and the church of today and tomorrow. So in case you're thinking, well, it's another school board meeting, negative connotations start coming up and you wish you could just stay home that evening. It would be much better for you to think about cutting something else out of your schedule that is less important and has less far-reaching implications or ramifications than to think about skipping or not preparing properly for your school board meeting. Are there any amens to this? Okay, so now that if we're committed and unified on that point, then let's talk about how do we actually conduct our meetings so that we have good meetings that get something done. You know, a board is measured by the decisions the board makes. Good decisions are the outcome of good board meetings, properly planned and executed. And my whole proposal to you is that by having a chairman who develops an agenda, convenes a board meeting, and the board members follow that agenda, make decisions, and record the decisions in the minutes, are the way in which we effectively direct a school. And if a board meeting executed properly is a crisp, concise, clear, instructive way of managing. Okay, so let's go then to the meeting agenda. So what should be on the meeting agenda? And by the way, I didn't put a sample agenda in the handout. I thought that might be demeaning, that you might look at that and say, now, we have had a few meetings, so you don't need that. But what should be on a meeting agenda? Well, there are certain things that should be done at a meeting in the right order. And so at the top of every meeting agenda, by the way, I didn't put on here roll call. We used to, at our school board meetings at one time, have a roll call, but that kind of got old, and it was because of the same men gathered around. It kind of like the here, here, here. That's what they do in first grade, isn't it? Not at the board meetings. But all this to say, the minutes of the meeting should record who was present and who was absent. And by having a roll call, or at least as a part of the function of the minutes, is to record who's there and then also put on there who's not. That process brings certain discipline. And so maybe you could start with a roll call, but then reading and approval of the minutes. Are you aware that minutes of a meeting are actually not formally the minutes of the meeting until they've been approved? So it is important that you read the minutes of the previous meeting and approve them. And if you are like me, the older I get, the more forgetful I am, and the more helpful minutes become. Because those things that were so crystal clear only 30 days ago, somehow I have completely forgotten about until now once again we read about them. So reading and approval of the minutes, and then add or approve to the agenda. Why is this important for the chairman to say, here's the agenda, does anyone have any additions? If yes, then give them. And those are added to, and then let's approve the agenda. All in favor? The reason that's important is that the agenda is the working document. It's the method by which we make decisions. And so if you then later have something come up that hasn't been added to the agenda, that is going to kind of like derail and cause you not to get done the important things that are on the agenda that others have properly prepared for, then that's a disservice to those who have prepared for properly, and or to, because there are timely decisions that need to be made that are on the agenda. So if you say at the outset of the meeting, does anyone have anything to add? It kind of like closes the door to halfway through saying, hey, have you thought about, we ought to talk about this sometime. Yeah. And then there are regular reports. What would regular reports be? The financial report. Put it right in there, and it becomes doing things systematically is what the key is here. Just to always do the same thing at the same time, at the same place, and have a regular report. Have regular report. By the way, the secretary's report or the reading of the minutes would also be technically a regular report. And then, now there are different ways to do this. I like to then have a section that says old business. And what would be on old business? Unfinished things from previous meetings, ongoing things that you've been talking about or discussing, or tabled items, things where you just ran out of time at the previous meeting, or the information wasn't all there, and so you tabled it, which means it just lies there until a later meeting, and then you pick it up again. If you don't record it as old business, guess what happens with some of those tabled items? They get swept in the trash when the table's cleared, and so you just forget about them. So this is a way to keep them in front of you, but to distinguish between what is that old ongoing business and the new business that you've just added. So that's what a meeting agenda should cover. Now, the chairman's role. The chairman develops the agenda. He gives meeting notices. What should a meeting notice include? By the way, let me hold just a second here to say that there are, it used to be, before there was email. I actually remember, I look out across the audience here, and you may find it hard to believe, but I remember when we had board meetings before we had email. And so if you were going to send out the agenda ahead of time, it had to be done by fax or by USPS, you know, regular mail, which some of you now refer to as snail mail. But and so we tended not to get it done because it took too much time. But you know what happens when your chairman exercises the discipline of preparing an agenda and sending it out so that all the meeting participants have advance notice of what is going to be discussed? That brings about a certain discipline that keeps the meeting on track, and you prepare properly for it. And it also kind of rules out that wandering chit-chat that will just kind of like derail and take you and eat up time, where all of a sudden it's time to go home and there's still a major portion of the agenda that hasn't even been discussed yet. So to send out the meeting, the agenda ahead of time, and it should include the meeting date, the meeting starting time, and ending time. I participate in a school board meeting and we have our challenges, but we have actually now set an ending time. We start on time, and we occasionally go over time, but very seldom. And that is a big shift from where we used to be. And there was here just recently, we sat there and looked at each other and said, it's not time to go home yet. And we were done. But setting an ending time creates that expectation. And also the meeting location. Now you might say, well, wait, we always meet at the same time, or at the same time at the same place. Why do we need to put that in? Make it part of your methodology. In our case, we have multiple rooms in our school, and the board meetings are not always in the same room. And this is just a practical thing, but there's two doors you could come in, and so you can at least come in the right door and go right up to the meeting. Because the meeting starts right on time, and if you're 5 minutes late, then you come hustling in there, disturbing the meeting that already is in progress. A list of the attendees, we've already talked about why, and then the meeting agenda. And then the chairman's other role is that he moderates the meeting. What are some of the duties of the chairman? He provides access to information. I want to refer to my notes here so that I say what I mean to say. Choosing a chairman is an important decision. How many chairmen are there in here? Thank you. Choosing a chairman is an important decision. The chair must understand the school's organization and be dedicated to its mission. His values must mirror the school and the church's values. He must have sufficient time to serve in this capacity. Some boards tend to elevate whoever's turn it is next and make them the chairman. I would propose to you that much more thought should be given. And while we have our almost cultural, almost instinctive drawing back from taking responsibility or even identifying someone who has a gift. There are those among us who have the gift of leadership, and it's a biblical gift. When it's recognized on the school board, then choose the person who has the gift to lead a group. Above all, the chairman is expected to facilitate a group process which draws the best from individual members and the collective group. Now, this is no small task. This is much more than just reading down a list of items on a piece of paper. But it's to preside over this meeting and be able to draw from all these individuals their best and draw it together so that the very best decisions of the group are reached. He's responsible for how the board functions, while the principal of the school is responsible for the effectiveness of the school administration. That's a complete other area of activity. That's much more detailed activity. The chairman is responsible for how the board functions, which is much more broad brush, you know, broad stroke activity. You think on a much wider scale. How the chairman and the principal, in our case we have a chairman and a principal, I'm assuming most chairmen here, is there any chairman here that's also the principal of a school? Generally, not generally, we have a principal. It's strategic that a chairman and a principal are joined in heart, joined in mission, and learn how to work together. Because if the chairman starts delving into administrative things and pulling the board down into things that should be done by the principal and the school administration, the board becomes relatively ineffective. It wastes its time fiddling with detail that is not their responsibility. And why is that so crucial? Well, crucial for one thing, it meddles with the work of the principal, and it undercuts his responsibility and authority. The more serious downside is that the board then fritters away their time thinking very narrowly about very detailed things when they need a broad vision and give attention and time to not, should we buy our milk from somebody else? I'm trying to think of some mundane thing, but the board should have in view is the product that we're producing, the graduates that emerge on the graduation end of our school, is what we're producing, is our product a good product that's in alignment with our church and our values? And so to the degree that we delve into administrative things and spend board time doing it during our board meetings, we neglect this other more serious and far-reaching duty and function. So one of the chairman's responsibilities is that he provides access to information. Good decisions are made based on good information. You know, the old, we used to have this phrase, haven't heard it in years actually, garbage in, garbage out. You know, if you have poor information upon which to act, then you will end up making poor decisions. And so access to information is an important function of the chairman. He must assure that board members have the information needed to fulfill their role. If they get poor information, partial information, late information, guess what the result will be? Poor decisions made too late. I've already talked, he must have a supporting relationship with the principal. He controls the meeting through the agenda. Remember we talked about approving the agenda before the meeting begins? He controls the meeting through the agenda. How do you, if you think about when, it's just like a construction crew going to a job site. And we don't just start out, I mean, there's a foreman that says, do this, do that. He controls all of the activity there because we have something clear and specific in mind. This is what we want to accomplish in this period of time. And the chairman controls the meeting the same way through the agenda. And he moderates the board meetings. There's hardly time to delve into that moderating is more than just ceremony and formality. At the end of the meeting, were good decisions made? Responsible to keep the meeting on track. Have you noticed that we strain at a gnat at the top of an agenda and we swallow camels at the bottom? To avoid this, and often the more just formalities are at the top and the far-reaching things are at the bottom. And so it's important that the chairman allocates proper time to the various things on the agenda in relation to their importance. To illustrate this, I was personally on a board, on a Bible school board. It was surprising to me how much, if you think about the role now, you know what, we've talked about a school board and how, and its ramifications for your church. Okay, well, a Bible school board is much the same way. The only thing is we've kind of like really broadened the exposure there. So there are youth coming from churches from all around the country, and they're there, really a captive audience, if you will, there for a very brief period of time. So the board that directs this enterprise should think in turn, and what I found ourselves doing, we were sometimes spending more time thinking about, should we replace shingles on the roof? Who's going to pay for that? And do we have a ladder long enough to clean out the spouting? Then we did are we producing, what are we teaching? Are the classes that we're offering aiding and helping our churches to raise a generation of faithful Christian men and women who will be the moms and dads and the leaders of the next generation? And so it's not fair to say we didn't talk about both. We did. But at the top of the agenda, we talked about the shingles and the ladder, and at the bottom, we talked about the more far-reaching aspects. And so we inverted that, and we made as a regular report the academic dean's report on the classes we're offering, the responses we're getting, the teachers that are teaching, and so on. And so we found ourselves spending much more time talking about the things that I think have much more lasting impact. But so as you develop your agenda, make sure that you allocate the proper amount of time. That's not to say that it's not important to change the shingles, you know, but make sure that you allocate the proper amount of time for the right things. He ensures the agenda is followed, and he allocates adequate time. Now, let's talk about the minutes of the meeting. A man named John Carver, by the way, this is not the Pilgrim John Carver, which I first thought, oh my, this was interesting. He was on the one of the participants in the Mayflower Compact, but he was actually a writer from just fairly recently. He said that while the chairman is the guardian of what the board is doing, the secretary is the guardian of what the board has done. Minutes are the official records of a meeting. Minutes preserve a historical record for future generations. Minutes are an action plan for assigned work in progress reports. Let's first talk about a historical record for future generations. Well, is that important? I would propose that minutes should be written in such a way that someone who was not present could 5 years later read those minutes and have a good have an understanding of what was decided upon, what decisions were made. Not come away with, they talked about this and they talked about that, but they don't actually tell you what was decided. Now, here's a key point. Are there secretaries here? Bless your, may your number increase. A good secretary is one of the key components of operating a school effectively and efficiently. So let's think about what should actually be written into minutes. Without overstating this and without making it too laborious, I would say as you read through minutes and you record minutes, don't try to record everything that was said. You know, I read some minutes and it says that John said da 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 da, and Joseph said this, and so you kind of get the gist of how a discussion went, but at the end of the discussion, you're not quite sure what the board actually decided. So here's how I would propose, and I'll use this this just as an example here. The minutes might record. It was agreed that we should accept the proposal of ABC Office Machine It was agreed that we should accept that we should stop. It was agreed to change from buying our own printers and copy machines and accept the proposal of ABC copy machine. Okay, now so what does that say? Okay, that you don't have to say it's this much more expensive, or you don't have to say that we just really got tired. We finally figured out that, you know, while the printer was cheap, they're really making a killing on the toner and the ink. And it would be cheaper for us to Or vice versa, because some boards go one, then you go the other way again. But however, just record what you decided. Now, you could also say, depending how specific you want your minutes to read, you could say, John moved, Joseph seconded, that we accept the proposal of ABC Office Machines and lease our office, our copy machine. And then end by saying unanimous approval, or 5 of 6, or whatever. But that's one way of it. The other is to say it was agreed. And it all depends how formal you want these things to be, and also the magnitude of the decision. But that way, so later then, if you go back, then you don't need to know. They really got frustrated. John said that, you know, they're running a special over at Staples, but so if we'd only buy it then, it would be cheaper. No, just cut out all of that and just say this is what was agreed on. And so another part of that would say, and the principal will sign the contract effective immediately. So then later, let's say at the next board meeting when the minutes are read, it kind of naturally comes up, did the principal sign the contract, and can you look back there, and there in the equipment room, there's an office machine back there, that's the result of the decision you made. So the minutes are an action plan for assigned work and progress reports, because there are things that, let's say you're looking for a teacher. And so you record in the minutes what you have decided that we have two candidates, and the chairman is going to call one of them, and the one of the board members whose niece it is going to call the other one. And so you put in there who's going to contact whom. See, then it becomes an action plan for the future. Let's go back again to the minutes that are the action plan for the future. Minutes lose their effectiveness by the day. When the minutes are not distributed soon after the meeting, then this whole idea of they being the action plan for future meetings loses its credibility. If the minutes are distributed the day before the next board meeting, anybody who was assigned anything in those minutes and kind of forgot about it now sees it the day before the next meeting, you ran out of time. Okay, so the get the minutes out as soon after the board meeting as possible. And then they become the working plan, and board members don't have to sit there and say, I better make note of this because, you know, otherwise I'll forget. No, it's right there in the plan. You see, this is an effective way to conduct business and to, that didn't come out quite right, to direct the school. Okay. Purposeful discussion. We already talked about discussion versus wondering. Chit-chat discussion is necessary, and you already know that discussion can easily stray, and the chairman must redirect wondering discussion to lead to decisions without stifling meaningful dialogue. This is what I mean, that this is the essence of how the chairman has to pull the best from every individual and draw it together so that the best decision is made as a unit. I would suggest that chairman notify all board members that if you start down a bunny trail, I'm going to redirect the discussion. Please do not be offended when I kind of cut you off. And once you learn that discipline, you find that board members will not just dilly-dally and stray, because they are aware that this is a discussion that's going somewhere, and that we can't just on our own start off somewhere else. But just kind of like just make it known ahead of time so that there's not undue embarrassment. What does he do during the meeting? He calls the meeting to order on time, stays focused on the agenda, focuses on substance, use unanimous consent. This I just put in here. I don't think most school boards would do this, but you may also serve on other boards where there are certain things that are always, let's say you serve on a board of CASB, and you have one meeting, and so that's precious time. And it's only one meeting per year, so the minutes are sent earlier, and there are other maybe certain procedural things. Let's say the approval of the minutes, for example. That can be done by consent. There's a consent agenda that's sent ahead of time, and instead of reading the minutes at the meeting, everyone reads them ahead of time, and all you do on the agenda is everyone agreed with the consent agenda? And if everyone says yes, then you've done that board work before the meeting time. Generally, our school board meetings are regular and they're local, so it's not necessary to use a consent agenda. He also has to encourage equal participation and control interruptions, manage potential conflict, ensure decisions and assignments are clear, and close the meeting on time and close it positively. Let's talk about ensure decisions and assignments are clear. If you are like me, you may sit in board meetings and we discuss things and we kind of, and John says this and Joseph says this and Dale says this. And the chairman says, "Yeah, that's right. So let's go to the next agenda item." It's then the duty of the secretary to say, "Chairman, what should I record that we decided?" I guess we actually didn't decide, did we? Okay, so. Or you say, "What should I record that we decided?" We decided that we would. Rather than lease a copy machine, we're going to just buy our toner supplies while they're on sale. And, okay, that's very good. Who's going to do it? So make sure that not only what you, the decision is recorded, but also the assignment. Otherwise, everyone will think that somebody else did it, and, well, you know how that goes. So manage potential conflict. I'd also like to talk about that. I have a slide on conflict, but we won't have much time to spend on it. I'd just like to say this, that as a chairman, there are, of course, I mean, discussion is good. Actually, I would say that there is some healthy conflict sometimes. If you have a board where everyone thinks exactly alike and no one ever says, have you considered this, then it's probably not a thinking board. But if we use the term, head conflict or head something off at the pass, what that means is look ahead, and if you can see a convergence shaping up that you know is going to be counterproductive, head it off further back, or head it off up there at the pass instead of down in the board meeting, if that makes sense. Okay, problem areas. The rambling member, the dominating member, the argumentative member. I was on a board, I worked with someone once who said, and I didn't figure this out till later, he said, I always am for the underdog. So it didn't matter what came up, he was always for the underdog. The boat that he thought would not carry, he would vote that way. And the discouraging member, power struggle between two board members, side conversations. You know what it's like when you're talking with someone, and while you're talking with that person, all of a sudden he's talking to someone else? That's what it feels like to the chairman of the meeting when the side conversations start taking place over here. And the most effective way to squelch those is just to stop the meeting. And then when that conversation's done, don't even have to say something. Just wait till that conversation's done, then start it again. And the non-participating member. Okay, role of debate and dissent. Most ideas benefit. I'm just going to put these up here. When you have a divided opinion, there are some options. Table it for further study, collaborate, or in some cases, just a majority rules. Vote, though I would say be very careful. It's one thing to say, will we play soccer or will we play softball? Let the majority rule. It's another thing to say, to have a major decision where there is such a lack of unity that you need just a scant majority in order to make a major decision. Table that. But boards need members who have the strength of their convictions. Just recognize as a board and as a chairman in particular that there are different behavioral styles, and we're running out of time to go into these. So I wanted to at least tell you about the exercise program that most school boards have. They jump to conclusions, they fly off the handle, they carry things too far, dodge responsibilities, and sometimes push their luck. Not all planning is alike. There is short-term planning by administration, long-term by the board. We've already discussed this. Planning via the meeting agenda, the reports are the past, the business is the present, planning is the future. The doctrine, this is what the book calls it. The book, Doing Good Better, calls it a doctrine, and so I'll continue to call it that. By the way, it is 11:15. I guess as long as others don't show up here, why we keep on going. But so there will be the others will all return back here. So we'll keep going till they show up. Is that all right? The doctrine of completed staff work. What I'd like to say here is a key to an effective board is if you, let's say, for example, it's time to think about what are we going to pay the teachers next year. If the chairman or the treasurer or whoever has this responsibility brings to the meeting a piece of paper that lists the teachers, what we are paying them now, what we paid them last year, and a blank for what are we going to pay them next year. Then all of that information is right there, and it's not raw meat. It's kind of cooked. Okay, so now you're ready to make a decision. What often will happen is there will be those kinds of decisions. So the agenda says teacher compensation. And so the question is, well, what are we paying them now? Well, let me think. What are we paying them now? It's in the minute book, probably last year, probably in March. So you start turning back to March, and then someone says, but what did we pay them the year before? How much did we give them then? And then you go back, and you see what I'm saying is, by the doctrine of completed staff work is, do not bring raw meat to the meeting. And as a chairman, do not allow raw meat to be brought to the meeting. If it's too raw, just do like you can do at a restaurant when you order a steak. It's too rare, you can just send it back and say, cook it more. Develop proposals. For example, let's say that instead of saying, okay, here's the list of the teachers, here's what we paid them, are paying them now, here's what we paid them last year, and there are blanks to fill in, instead of doing it that way, the chairman could even perhaps do this, or maybe there's a compensation committee, however you make these decisions. You could say, based on the cost of living and based on the length of time, here's what we propose that we pay our teachers next year. Okay, now there are three options for the board: approve, disapprove, or amend. And instead of even talking about, well, what is the consumer price index and so on, how should we proceed from here, you just accept the proposal. This is a very effective way for boards to conduct business, because it forces, fair forbid, there to be good work done ahead of the meeting, and then the board can make an informed decision based on what was given. And if the board says, and the board doesn't have to feel like pushed into a certain direction, you can always amend it. Or if there's not enough information, you can say table it. I put in that last one, money predetermines many decisions. I sometimes find myself sitting there talking about things that are things that we would like to have happen that are practical realities, unaffordable. And so I'm not sure why we sit there talking about, are we going to do these? So I think all this to say, just keep in perspective, that whatever proposals the board decides, they have to be funded. And if any good treasurer will say, if the board says, yes, let's do that, then he'll say, okay, let's see, where's that money? Okay, where are we taking the money away from to do this? Some practical pointers. Term limits. How many of you have term limits on your board? Would you say that's good or that's bad? What if I said it's both? Because there's a real benefit to having experience. But there's also, I've put it this way, old board members are like old couches. You know, you get, old couches get, at least ours did, got shaped in a certain kind of way and a mold, and it no longer springs back to the original, you know, shape it was in. It kind of is shaped. And eventually, you need a new couch. And I would say eventually you need new board members, because old board members get shaped in certain ways and they no longer spring back into the original shape that they were. And here's what happens is we become complacent, and maybe there are certain conditions in the school that aren't ideal. They could become better. We could be more excellent at them. But because we've kind of become inoculated to them, we just kind of like become accepting. Embrace the calling to be an effective school board member. God's work done His way will bear spiritual fruit. Are there any questions that anyone would have, or anything you would like to raise? The people are starting to appear back here, but I think we have about 2 minutes maybe. Are there any questions? Yes. It's the chairman's responsibility to either do it himself or assign others to come up with the proposal. And generally, I think it depends on, if it's something finance related, let it be the treasurer. If it's something that facilities related, let it be the person who's in charge of the facilities. Any other questions? One final comment on, you see that solidarity, kind of maybe an overworked phrase that we, or word that we use, but let me share with you something that was discussed earlier here about what about board members who vote one way and say something else. I used to work for a company where I was a member of a large conglomerate's management team. The first time I went to the boardroom for a board meeting, it was, let's just say it was combative, surprisingly combative in there. And as we left the meeting, the CEO walked me to the door and he said, "Paul, let me tell you something. You were probably surprised at how we talk in here." Yes, I was. But you saw that we made a decision. Yes, I did. When we walk out this door, it's our decision. And when a member of our management team breaks ranks, he'll be forgiven the first time. And so I think that's an expectation that should be communicated, that there's solidarity here. We're a team. The strength of, our school has in the bylaws a statement that says, no member of the board, including the chairman, has independent authority. We only have authority as a unit when we find consensus. And I think there's a key for a unit, an effective, a group of men with common ideals working together in structured meetings with an agenda and minutes to conduct the business of the school and of the church and the business of the kingdom effectively. Thank you.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders Educational Programs. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.